Hallelujah. My name is Christ. We commence the 8th class of the book of Matthew. What do you guys think, as the pastor, right, during 2 weeks in YTS, which week is more fun to preach, the first week or the second week? Second week. Why do you think the second week? Why do you think the second week? Actually, you know, after the first week of praying, fasting and praying, listening to God's word all week, right? But the second week, when we preach, it feels just like butter, right? So smooth, right? And everything we say, you guys would laugh, right? And when I look at, and it's true, you see, I didn't say anything, you guys are laughing, right? And when I look at your faces, you look like angels, right? Of course, some of you fall asleep, but it's okay, you're tired, you can fall asleep. But most of you, right? Most of you, really, you have a face like the face of angels. And you look very joyful, look very peaceful. So because of this, God also worked in us to preach too, right? So that's why it's very important. So when we go to church and we look at the speaker, don't just blame on them if their preaching is blah, right? We have to blame on ourselves too. If the audience are filled with God's Spirit, God will move the speaker also to speak according to His will. That's why it's important, right? So a church wants to hear a good sermon, to have really good food every week, right? You must pray and read God's word and be filled with God's Spirit. And then when the speaker go up there, it doesn't mean who they are. They speak, they will speak according to God's word. So I hope next time, if I'm coming only 1 week, I will request for the second week. Because it is very joyful. Of course, the first week is also very joyful too, right? But the first week is just like climbing up the mountain together, right? It's a little bit difficult, but come on, let's go, right? Then you try to help people out, this and that. You get tired yourself. Preaching is very tiresome. You guys know that, right? Stand up here to talk, but listening is even more so. Really thank God for you guys can sit here all day and listen. That's wonderful. But it's without the Spirit of God, right? There's no way you guys can sit here all day and listen. It's not possible. So that's why now in different churches, I mean, in other churches, how long is the sermon? Huh? What's that? Can you say it out loud?
30 minutes?
Yes, 20, 30 minutes. That's their sermon, right? 20 to 30 minutes. I mean, in the beginning, you have choir, a huge choir and stuff like that, singing stuff like that. So people cannot bear to listen more than 20, 30 minutes, right? So some members also suggested in our church, yes, we should not, you know, preach for 50 minutes, right, or 1 hour, right? Because after 30 minutes, no one wants to listen anymore, right? It's true, unless if they're filled with God's Spirit, right? When you're filled with God's Spirit, when you speak and speak and speak, you just don't want to stop, right? And when you listen to God's Word, you also don't want to stop. This means that you are really connected to God. Really connected to God. So that's why it's up to all of us. The speaker should be filled with the Holy Spirit, and the congregation should be filled with the Holy Spirit, and then the sermon would be very beautiful. I remember 1 year, actually, here, right, at Bowen Park Church, and that year we had like 200 people. It was packed. It was packed. And the second week, I was leading a prayer session. The minute I came up, I said the name of Jesus Christ, and I just feel the whole church was filled with God's power and God's presence. That is the first time I experienced such thing. Why? Because everybody was filled with the Holy Spirit. So when I speak during that time, I just feel that, wow, God's power is so wonderful, right? God's presence is so wonderful. Then after we came up to pray, I was up there in the front, right, praying. The minute we say the name of Jesus Christ, we pray, all I heard was one voice. Just one voice. Can you imagine that, right? Over 200 people. But all I heard was only one voice from all the brothers and sisters. It's been really, we are in unity, right? We are in one accord, praying. No wonder the Bible keeps saying, right, they were praying in one accord. How can I hear only one voice if all of us are praying? But when you pray to the point that you're spiritually filled, all you have is one voice. That voice is from the Holy Spirit. It's not ours. So really praise and thank God. I really admire all of you. You started so young, right? Some of you are 16, 17, right, 20. You are here to study God's word, to build your foundation. I didn't start to build my foundation until I was 27. So I'm way behind, right? Way behind. But all of you, you are way ahead, especially for those of you who are born in church. You've been going to SSC for many years, right? And then, of course, a lot of you went to the Regional High School Theology Seminar also, right? That is really wonderful. May God bless you and guide you. I'm not saying goodbye yet. I didn't even say goodbye. But I just feel like, yeah, I'm very touched by all of you. Okay, let's go to Matthew chapter 5. Matthew chapter 5. From verse 1 to verse 42. Right? Verse 1 to verse 42. Any question, any thought at all, right? So everyone know verse 30 to verse 42, right? The main point is that do not resist an evil person. If you work at 7-Eleven and a guy come in there with a gun, right? And say, hey, give me all the money. What are you going to do? Here, take it. Here, take the whole register, right? You want to, right? Don't fight against an evil person. Why? Because if you fight against an evil person, quite often they will kill you, right? They will kill you. So that's why here in verse 39, but I tell you not to resist an evil person, right? But whoever slap you on your right cheek, turn the other to him also. This to an evil person, right? If an evil person sue you, right, and want to take away your tunic, give him your cloak also, right? They mean everything that you have, just give it to him, right? Why? Just to keep ourselves alive. And verse 41, and whoever compels you to go 1 mile, go with him too. So actually the reason that Lucius Christ say this is that in olden days, for example, Simon, right? When Lucius Christ could not carry the cross anymore, the Roman soldier asked him to carry the cross, right? Can he say no? Actually, the law, he cannot say no. If the Roman soldier asked him to do it, he must do it, right? If not, he would be in prison, things like that, right? So an evil person asks us to do something, we'll do it. Right? Why? To save our life, to live another day, right? And if they ask us for something, the same thing, right? The same thing, okay? Any question you got? Any question you got? Okay, let's continue then. Verse 43. You have heard they were said, you shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy, right? This is the righteousness of the scribe and Pharisee. Yes? I'm sorry?
What if an evil person asks you to sin?
Sin, okay. If an evil asks you to do something evil, right? For example, I'll give you a good example. So one of the sisters, her dad is a hardcore Buddhist, right? So she's a church member. So she went back to visit her her dad in that country where she's living. And then her dad wanted to force her to worship the idol, right? And she said, no, right? I'm a Christian, I cannot bow down to idols. And her dad took out a shotgun and put it on her head and forced her, right? These are true stories, these are real situations happening to the sister, right? And so he walked in front of the altar and said, you don't bow down to idol, I will shoot you in the head. That's what the dad said. What did the sister do? What would you do, sister? Pray. Pray to the altar? Actually, thank God his sister said no, right? No. Yeah, that's a good question. I think when evil people ask us to do something evil, right, to go against God's will, right, then we should not do it. We should not do it. Yeah. So actually the sister said no, but thank God the dad did not kill her, right? The dad did not kill her. And what happened is this. This is a really, it's an old philosophical thinking or questions, right? Talking about Christian ethics, right? So for example, if a guy say to you, right, you must kill this person right here. If you don't kill this person, I will kill all of them, right? Then what should you do? What is the right thing to do? Huh? Pray, okay. You know, pray trump over everything, right? Always pray is good. But what should we do? I mean, in that situation, what should we do? Should we kill that one person to save the other nine? What should we do? Huh? Kill the guy who told you to kill him. Yeah, give me the gun, I'll kill this guy. It wouldn't be that easy, right? Actually, For us, we don't kill anybody, right? Because they say, oh, if you don't kill this person, the other 9 people die because of you, right? Is that true? No, you don't want to kill them, it's not me, right? So that's why for us as Christians, actually, it's quite easy to make this kind of philosophical thinking, right? And it took me 4 years to study this kind of ethics. It's stupid, right? Why we're trying to see which one is more better for the majority, this and that. But in Christ, you kill one person, you're killing that person, right? So if the guy wanted to kill all 10 of them, it's not our fault. It's his fault, right? So things like that. Yes, Felicia, you have something?
Never mind. Okay.
Okay. So any other thought? So when they ask us to do something evil, right, we should not do it. This evil, of course, is to go against God's will, go against God's teaching, okay? So verse 43, the righteousness of scribes and Pharisees that they love their neighbor and hate their enemy, right? So that's why quite often when I look to Christ, you know, have food, eat food and stuff with the tax collector and with the sinners, they would, you know, pretty much say, hey, if your master, right, is a holy person, why would he eat and have companionship with all these sinners? But actually, Lucius Christ said, no, look, right, even your enemy, verse 44, but I say to you, love your enemies, bless those who curse you, do good to those who hate you, and pray for those who spitefully use you and persecute you. So here is a very hard saying, right? Especially sometimes our brother and sister and children, they're not so lovable, right? Even you try to love them, but it's too hard. It's too difficult, right? To love them. But God said here, hey, no matter what, right? You should even love your enemy, never mind your brother and sisters, right? If God tells us to love our enemies, this means there's no problem. He said there's no problem for us to love one another. Right? To love one another. But even though it seems easy, but it's not, right? It's not. So that's why one day when you get married and you really, you know, get mad and upset with your wife or your husband, right? You know, but you need to love them, right? By far, they're not your enemy, right? So that's why, you know, don't go to bed, you know, without amending your relationship with one another. That's very important, right? And even your relationship with your parents nowadays, right? I mean, how many of you, your parents don't live with you, raise your hand. So for those of you, do you call your parents every day? Yeah, good, Andrew. Andrew calls his parents every day. Anybody else? That's the Ohana spirit, right, brother? Actually, I try to call my mother also every day too, right? Because it's very important. That's why at your age, really, you should not raise your voice against your parents at all. Of course, sometimes parents, they really do things to press your button. Really, parents know how to aggravate you, right? I know. I broke my wrist one time, right, for punching a fireproof door, right? Because my adopted mother, she's quite crazy, right? She's OCD, but I love her to death, right? I love her, but she has obsessive compulsive disorder, right? So when I went off to college, I just leave off college, and then I party too much, so I had to come back home, right, to live. So one day she called me, right, and I was in class, and you know the office came, you know, to call me to say, hey, it's an emergency. You need to call your mother. So I said, wow, what happened? So I was like, wow, this is serious, right? So I called my mother, and she said, Rudy, what did I tell you? When you take off your clothes out of the closet, take out the hanger and put in a basket. That's what she said to me. And I like, you took me out of my class because you want to tell me to put the hanger into the basket, right? I got so mad, I was right there, because there's no cell phone back then, right? This is a long time ago, there's no cell phone. So I punched the door, and my bones stick up like that, right? Because it broke in half. But thank God it didn't come out of my skin, it just popped out, but it didn't come out of my skin. And yeah. What I'm saying that your mothers really know how to press a button. Really, you know, parents, they know exactly what can aggravate you or not. And as children, you know what aggravates them too, right? right? You know, right? But don't aggravate one another. Don't press each other's button, right? If everybody presses everybody's button, then on the end, all the button be worn out, right? And that's not good, really. But it's we abuse each other too much, right? Really. When you talk to your parents, even they yell and scream at us, really smile at them. I don't want to go into it. We have a lot of text to study here. Yeah. So here, really, love your enemy, right? Bless those who curse you, right? If someone curses, God bless you, right? It's not an easy thing to do, right? Especially when a person hates you, right? What you should do when they hate you and spitefully use you, you pray for them. This is so important, right? And it truly works. If we really practice what God, you know, tell us to do, it really works. So, one time I was on a council, right before I became a pastor, I was on a council. And I was the one that doing the scheduling and stuff like that. And then one of the brothers, I scheduled him for the afternoon service instead in the morning, right? So he was so upset at me, right? He called me up for half an hour, yelling and screaming at me, right? And my wife, she's listening, she's like, and I was just there listening to him. He was like, you know, so upset. He's like, you know, I've been in Christ for many years and I'm at this age, you know? Why do you schedule me for second session? Because second session is not important. The first session is more important. I'm like, what's going on, right? For half an hour, he's giving me up. I say, I'm so sorry, right? Next time I know, you know, and then I will do better and stuff, right? And I just tell him, you know, God bless you, right? And we hang up the phone. And that week, I prayed for him. Actually, I prayed for myself. I don't want to see this brother at church, right? Being all upset with me. So I pray and pray and pray, right? Then Saturday came, right? And I saw him. He's like, hey, hi, brother Woody, how are you? And he hugged me and everything. I'm like, this is very strange, right? And he just pretend nothing ever happened. For me, I realized actually God the one intervened, right? Because God is a great counselor. So that's why when brother and sister are fighting and stuff with one another, and as a counsel, I always ask them, pray for them. Don't say anything, right? Because when someone is in a fight, argument, it doesn't matter what side you pick, you're always going to be wrong. Right? You know that, right? So that's why I ask counsel, pray for these two, three people. Pray for them, and you can see really the result of prayer. So that's why for us, we practice God's word. If someone hates us, if someone really uses and abuses us, we pray for them. Right? We pray for them. And what is the reason? That verse 45. That you may be sons of your Father in heaven, for he makes his sun rise on the evil and on the good, and send rain on the just and on the unjust. Verse 46. For if you love those who love you, what reward have you? Do not even the tax collector do the same? Verse 47. And if you greet your brethren only, what do you do more than others? Do not even the tax collectors do so? Verse 48. Therefore, you should be perfect, just as your Father in heaven is perfect. So if you and I be able to love our enemies, pray for those who curse us, this means we also can be perfect in love, just like our Lord Jesus Christ. And this is our goal we want to reach. Christ is love. He's not part of love. He is love, right? So that's why you and I also must manifest this love inside of us. So any question, any thought, chapter 5? Alright, let's go to chapter 6. Okay. Here in chapter 6, verse 1. Take heed that you do not do your charitable deeds before men to be seen by men. Otherwise, you have no reward from your Father in heaven. Right? Verse 2. Therefore, when you do a charitable deed, do not sound a trumpet before you as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the street, that they may have glory from men. Assuredly, I say to you, they have their reward. So here, let's go to verse 3 also. Right? But when you do a charitable deed, do not let your left hand know your right hand is doing. Verse 4. That your charitable deed may be in secret, and your Father who sees in secret will himself reward you openly. Right? So here, when we do something good, Don't blow a trumpet, right? Don't let other people know. And why here? Say, don't even let your left hand know what the right hand is doing. What does that mean? What does that mean? What does that mean? Don't let your left hand know what your right hand is doing. What does that mean nowadays? How can we practice that nowadays? Yeah. Anyone? Come from the same body, right? Come from the same body. So in other words, even in church, right? Even between wife and husband, quite often you do something good, you do not need to tell them. So for example, if you have a brother or sister who's, you know, they're quite poor, right? They're quite poor. And you take them out to dinner. Then all next week, all you're saying, yeah, I see, I took them out to dinner. Right? And that's what you do, right? And then a month later, yeah, you see them a month ago, I took them out to dinner, right? So those kinds of stuff, actually, why do we need to announce it, right? Why do we need to announce it? We do not need to announce it, right? Of course, sometimes when I do things for brother and sister, even though I don't announce it, later on when my wife sees the credit card bill, she asks me, hey, what happened? You went out to dinner, cost $50. You know, why do you do that, right? And she asked, I had to tell her, right? Oh, you know, I took someone else to dinner, right? But I didn't go into detail and stuff like that, right? So do our best, right? When we do a cheerful deed, don't let anybody know, right? Why? Because on the end, the reward is what? Your Heavenly Father will give us the reward. So this first thing we do that is in secret is cheerful deed. Okay, cheerful deed. And then the second thing that we do is in secret is our prayer, right? Our prayer. That is chapter 6, verse 5. To verse 8, verse 5. And when you pray, you shall not be like the hypocrite, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and on the corners of the street, that it may be seen by men. Assuredly, I say to you, they have their reward. Verse 6. But you, when you pray, go into your room, and when you have shut your door, pray to your Father who is in a secret place, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you openly. Verse 7. And when you pray, do not use vain repetition, as the heathen do, for they think they will be heard for their many words. Verse 8. Therefore, do not be like them, for your Father knows the things you have need of before you ask Him. So here, our Lord Jesus Christ also taught His disciples, when you pray, right? When did you pray? You must also go into the secret place, right? And when you pray, do not, you know, go into the corners of the street and, you know, show people that you are praying. That's why quite often we, you know, here in NYTS or any other seminars, when we pray, make sure we don't pray because other people are praying, right? When we fast, it's not the reason why, oh, you know, last week I fast 3 meals, right? That's not the reason. And the reason why I share with you my longest fasting is 4 days, because that has happened a long time ago, right? That's over with, who cares anymore, right? But the reason I told you was it's so difficult to do it, right? So right now, at these 2 weeks, if you are fasting to show off to other people, then of course, this fasting is not gonna work. God's not gonna appreciate the way we fast. So outwardly, don't do it, right? Because we wanna show off to others. Don't do it because you want to show off to others. Especially when it comes to what? Things have to do with charity, right? And things have to do with that prayer. Let's go to verse 16. Verse 16. Moreover, when you fast, do not be like the hypocrite with a sad countenance, for they disfigure their faces, that they may appear to men to be fasting. Assuredly, I say to you, they have their reward, right? So when you and I fast, I don't walk like that. Hey, why do you walk like that? I've been fasting. Hey, why are your ears all messy and stuff? I've been fasting. Hey, why your breath smells so bad? I didn't brush my teeth. No, because sometimes we want to do things, right? get people's attention. But you don't need to really. Actually, when you are fasting, that is a time you keep yourself very neat, right? Really, you walk with strength, right? You are very clean, right? You wash your face all the time, right? To let people see, look, right? What God sees inside our heart. So outwardly, of course, sometimes we do feel tired, right? Sometimes when you fast, you don't drink water. You have like all this foam in your mouth, right? Right, clean that up, right? Clean, don't keep, of course, you're disgusting looking anyway, right? Right? So as a speaker, there's one thing I worry about when you talk so much and your mouth is so dry, right? Then you get all this white stuff, right? So tell me you have the white stuff so you can wipe it, okay? Remember, yell at your yes be a yes and no be a no, right? So really, so when you are fasting and stuff like that, make sure, really, don't make yourself so pitiful, right? And then go sit next to your brother and sister there and you just watch them eating, right? And the other one says, hey, what are you doing? You want some? I'm fasting. And during the dessert time, you're walking back and forth, right? And the brother says, hey, take some, get some. I'm fasting, right? The reason I use this kind of example, I see it all the time. I see it all the time, right? Because sometimes when you go to the dessert, you ask the brother, hey, why don't you get something to eat instead? Like, I'm fasting. Like, what are you doing here if you're going to fast? Something, right? But yes, so do our best not to really show people that we are fasting, right? We are fasting. And then, but look at verse 17, right? But you, when you fast, anoint your head and wash your face. That's what I said earlier, right? Anoint your head and wash your face, right? So that you do not appear to men to be fasting, but your Father is in the secret place, and your Father who sees in the secret will reward you openly. So how wonderful this is, man. How wonderful this is. So there's three things that you do in secret. What is the first one? Charitable deeds, yes. And what is the second one? Prayer. And what is the third one? Fasting. Fasting. So, but and then we ask ourselves this question. So why in afternoon or during lunchtime, during breakfast, we're all fasting up here, right? And we, in front of everybody, we tell people we are fasting. And how can we answer, what can we answer to that? You know my question? Because some people say, look, NYTS, right? When we fast, for example, morning, right? We just all pray up here and it seems like we show everybody we are fasting, right? And lunch, the same thing too, right? After the first bell, right? Then for those of you who do not fast, you go to eat. And then the one who fast, just stay here. So everybody know they're fasting, right? Is that right or wrong? So what should we do? Should we change the way? Actually, ideally, right, ideally, we should have a prayer place that is not in public, right, ideally. So in other words, if you want to fast, you can just go there and fast, right? And nobody knows that you go there to fast and pray, right? For example, in San Jose Church, there's a church and also there's an upper room, right, where the pastor stays. And that room is pretty big. So during RHTS, so those, we ring, for example, if lunch starts at 12:20, we ring at 12:20. If you want to go eat, then you just go and eat. Then those who want to pray, then they just go upstairs and pray. But when you go upstairs, you don't know they're going to go to pray, they're going to go to their room, they're going to go wash their face, whatever it is, right? They just go to their room. But the chapel is all free, right? It's open. So and if people want to know who's fasting, they have to open the door, right? And then they see who's fasting. But if not, but over here is okay also, right? Over here, the main thing is that the person who is fasting, make sure that your heart is in the right place. That's more important than the area, than the place. Okay? So remember that, right? So do charitable deed, right? Do charitable deed. And another thing too, right? Because when people send you like emails and stuff, right? If someone who's really sick and stuff like that, they say, please pray for us. And then, you know, this, and you copy this email to everybody, right? Try not to do that too, right? If, for example, if someone sends an email, please pray for me, say, yes, I will pray for you, and I will keep you in a prayer and stuff like that. You don't need to reply all. You understand what I'm saying? You just reply to that person, that's all. Right? Because sometimes, really, because it's easier, it seems easy to reply all, let everybody know, oh, I read your email, and I will pray for you. And for me, it has the same effect as this. If we email, reply all, and we tell people we're praying for them stuff, it's not good. Why would we want to do that, right? Why want to do that? Just reply to that person and say, yes, I will pray for you, right? I will pray for you. And our family will keep you in prayer. Just let you and the person know. Of course, you write words of encouragement, right? But if you reply all, and then quite often, sometimes I really read email, and it's quite fake, you know? Because when we reply all, you not really respond to that person, we respond to all the people that you're replying to, right, unconsciously. You guys know what I'm saying? Because sometimes you read the email like, why do you have to say this? Why do they have to say that, right? It doesn't make sense. It only makes sense if they want to other people to see what they're gonna do, right? And sometimes they reply, oh, I will do this for you, I'll do that for you, and they never do it, right? They just want people to know that they're doing something. And also, that's not good, right? As best as you can, right? You do everything in secret, not sin. Sin, you don't do anywhere, any place, right? But cheerful deed, right? When you pray, when you fast, you do in secret. This is really important. And when you do that, right? Really, you just feel so good. You really feel that God rewards you, right? For me, I really like to bring brothers and sisters, right? I mean, I tell you this because it happened a long time ago, right? I really like to bring brothers and sisters who, you know, at church, they don't have money. They don't have anything, so I really like to bring them out to eat. When you really bring them out to eat, you really feel they're so appreciative, right? And when you bring them out to eat, you know what? They can never pay you back because they can never, right? Because they don't have money to bring you out and stuff to eat. So do some kind of cheerful deed like that, right? For example, the last church I was at, and I know this brother, he loves to eat lobsters, right? He loved to eat lobsters. And you know, in the East Coast, the lobster can be pretty cheap, right? But the West Coast, the lobster is not that cheap, right? So before I left, I took him to eat lobsters, right? And I went to the restaurant, this little bit fancy restaurant, just me and him, you know? And he was eating the lobster. I didn't eat the lobsters, right? Because it cost too much money. So I just ordered one lobster, right? And I just looked at him eating it. I felt so joyful. And even though I was hungry, but looking at him eat, I don't feel hungry anymore. Because I was so satisfied, just he was so, until now, he doesn't forget, right? He doesn't forget. And I know he can never take me back to eat the restaurant, you know, for lobster and things like that. So really do this kind of cheerful deed for our brothers and sisters, right? But at the same time, don't blow a trumpet, right? Don't let people know. Even you pray for them, right? Even you pick them up, right? Because quite often I see that, wow, how did these brothers and sisters get to church? But there's always brothers and sisters pick them up, but they never say anything. This is wonderful, right? This is wonderful. But some other times when you pick someone from the church, come to church, you're complaining, right? Oh man, I pick them up every week, right? And this and that. And that's not good charity work. Right? That's not good. Okay? So any question, Ita? With the three things in secrets, right? Three things in secrets. And of course, from verse 9 to verse 10 is the Lord's Prayer. Is the Lord's Prayer, right? Let me ask you one question. So verse 7. And when you pray, do not use vain repetition. So that's why some people say, hey, your church always say hallelujah all the time, right? Yes, you know, continue to repeat, right? That is vain repetition. How can we respond to this? What does vain repetition mean? Yes, brother? Yes. So vain repetition just means, God, please let me hit the mega box. God, please let me hit the mega box every time you pray, right? This is vain repetition. But to say hallelujah, right? To praise God, this is not in vain. So that's why we can say hallelujah until we're blue in the face. And God will, you know, be able to feel the glory, right? And to feel the praise that's come from us. Because the book of Revelation, right? That's what the saints, that's what they do, right? They praise God, right? Okay? So any question from verse chapter 6? Let's go to the Lord's Prayer then. Verse 9. In this manner, therefore, our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Right? Verse 10. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven.
Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debt as we forgive our debtors. And do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For you are the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. So this is the Lord's Prayer, and we can see that this is the guide of how we pray to God, right? First, we should always, we can see our Father in heaven, right? When we pray, we must know that we're praying to a God in heaven. He's not someone on earth. So because of this, let our word be few, right? And let our reverence be toward our Lord Jesus Christ. Why? Because He is from heaven. He's not like you and I on earth. So always remember that. And then, make sure He's, you know, we honor His name, right? Hallowed be your name. And how can we honor His name? It's by you and I live a life to glorify His name. So when we say our Father in heaven, it's not only doing this prayer, but how we live our life, right? To honor God's name in heaven, right? To make sure that we hallow His name, right? Because Jesus' name is so powerful, right? Really, Jesus' name is so powerful. And when we be able to live a life to honor His name, to hallow His name, then we can use this name to truly protect us from all things that, you know, that is evil. For me, since I came to Christ, I experienced Satan many times, right? But thank God, almost every time, right? And the reason I say almost, because sometimes I use the name of Jesus, I'm lack of faith. Not because the name has no power, because I have no faith. That's why I cannot cast out Satan, right? But God's name is so powerful. But if you and I don't use His name, don't hallow His name, then His name just like become like anything else, right? So I remember one time a sister, she owned a convenience store, right? I think your sister lived in New York, right? She owned a convenience store. And her store is very narrow, but it's very long, right? So every time a customer go in and come out, she used to have a button to press it, right? To open the door and things like that, right? So one time when the customer going out and this guy snuck in to a store, then first he just pretending like, oh, you know, let me buy this, let me buy that, right? So she would, you know, bring those things and put on a counter for him. Then all of a sudden say, oh, I don't want this, why don't you go in the back, right? To get all this stuff for me. And then she say, no, I'm not going to the back. Then he took our gun, right? He took our gun. And as he took out the gun, and the sister, she just said, hallelujah, hallelujah, right, like that, right? And as she said hallelujah, and then this robber, he began to shake, right, And then he took out some money out of his pocket and paid for the product, right? Then he left his money there, left the product there, and left his gun there, and ran away, right? That is quite crazy, right? So police come over, of course the police cannot believe, like, what do you mean? He take the product and then he paid for it and he left his gun here. It doesn't make sense, right? But that is our God. That is our God. It's really so wonderful. And I'm sure you heard many testimonies like this, right? I mean, when I first came to Christ, I used to drive a Ford Probe GT, right? And it's cherry red. It's very red, right? It's a sports car, right? You guys know, right? And of course, I think God did not want me to drive that kind of car anymore, right? Because I'm going to become a pastor. It doesn't look like, right? But after I dropped my wife off, and I was, you know, she lived in downtown Boston, I mean, she worked in downtown Boston, right? So I was, and I work about a little bit, what, northeast of Boston, about 20 minutes, 25 minutes. So I was on the bridge, right? And I was on the bridge, ready to go into the tunnel and go to my work. And there's a sweeper truck, right, was right in front of me. And then the guy in front of the sweeper truck stopped very quickly. Then the sweeper truck also stopped very quickly. And for me, I also had to stop very quickly. But I looked at my rear view mirror, and this guy, I don't know what he was doing, he was not paying attention, right? And this traffic is all going along, right? And I knew this guy gonna run into me, right? So the mirror, look at the mirror, you know, you cannot do anything. You know you're gonna crash into you, but where are you gonna go? If you open a door, you know, you can get hit by the traffic, right, going that way. So I just sit in there, I pray my just, in my heart, just say hallelujah, right? And Christ is in my mind. So the minute I did that, and my car, right, got rammed by the guy, and it goes, my car was a sports car, so the front is very low. So my sports car went inside, halfway in the front, right? And then
when it became higher, it just hit the sweeper truck. Then it went in like this, it came back like this. Right? It's all dented, right? So both of the airbags came out, my windshield all, you know, cracked, and the back is all dented. But during that time, I couldn't even get out, right? So I just kicked the door open, right? And I went to the side of the bridge. And during that time, I was so calm. You have no idea how calm I was, right? I just felt so calm during that time. So I went to the side, and I called my wife and said, oh, honey, I just got to an accident. Right? And my wife used to be like, oh, really? Are you okay? I say, I'm okay. And they say, okay, I'll talk to you later. That's how she is, you know, that's how she is. So then I called my mother and say, oh, mother, I just got to an accident and stuff. And my mother was watching the news, right? And she's like, yeah, I see you on the bridge there. The helicopter, right? The news, the helicopter, and stuff like that. And, but during that time, when I crashed, right? When I crashed, I just felt that the hand of God really covered me. I did not want to have one scratch on me, right? And then when I called my insurance lady and she said, Booty, you are really hurt, right? I'm like, no. Booty, you are really hurt, right? I'm like, no. It's like, oh, maybe not today, but tomorrow you'll be really hurt, right? I say, no, I'm fine. But she wanted me, you know, my insurance lady wanted me to claim, right, that I was hurt and stuff. Because my car is completely totaled, right? And I say, no. I say, if I say I'm hurt and it's not true, I'd be really hurt, right? So I say, no, right? And from, I have nothing at all, right? That is God's name, really. It's so wonderful, right? And one time, actually it's already 3:10. One more story. So one time I was driving on the highway with my wife in the middle of the winter, right? And a truck jackknife, right? You know a truck jackknife, right? On the highway like this, right? You know what, it just turned, right? So the truck is like coming to me like this, and then there's a car right on this side, like you know this. So for me, I have to go through this accident, right? And during that time, really, I just, in my heart, I say Jesus' name, right? I just say hallelujah. When I say hallelujah, everything came in slow motion. And I can see the spot that I had to go through very slowly. I mean, I cannot describe what it's like, but it's so awesome. So when I went through, right, I mean, everything is like in slow motion, the way I turn like this, right? Like this, I was not freaking out at all because the truck is coming toward me, right? And all the cars on the right hand side are coming toward me. So I just squeeze in, I'm talking about squeezing, right? The hole that's going to go in, right? And after my wife say, wow, that is so good, right? And for me, I'm like, yeah, it was unbelievable, right? Really, during that time, 100% sure God is the one that driving for me. God was the one that drove for me. I mean, there's no way I can be so patient, no way I can see things in slow motion where the truck has come this way, the car's come this way, in the middle of the ice storm. There's no way. But God opened my eyes to see so clearly. Yeah, I have so many stories really about God's name and how wonderful if we live a life to hallow His name and live a life to really know that He's our Father in heaven, He always going to take care of us. So may God bless you all. We'll just bow and pray in silence.